It's the seventh day of November, 2012. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures trade in Chicago and Kansas City and other parts of the world for the day is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Todd.
Hey, so let's start with the soybeans because there's at least one little interesting tidbit there that you can pick up from the numbers. The nearby January contract off 20¼ cents, but the March just down a penny, and the rest of them were down, I don't know, 3 to 9 cents or something like that. Why the liquidation in the January?
Well, I show the March down 14, so that might be a bad tick, but your point overall is still applicable, Todd, because we did see the January fall to the March, and they're now going to probably close or settle out here close to parity. And I think maybe what we saw here today, especially given that we saw 115,000 tons or two cargoes of beans sold to China, and the trade was thinking better South American weather, not worse South American weather, so you would have thought the bull spread would have been a little bit more active. But with that not being the case, I'm wondering whether there's not some type of fund roll from the Jan long out of the Jan long into March longs that we saw today being the end of the day and being around the 7th of the month, which sometimes brings in some of these commodity index funds in terms of rolling positions. So that would be my guess. Don't have anything conclusive or anything to support that, just the way the price action was.
And historically, this would be about the time of the month that the Goldman
right.
Sachs roll happens.
Exactly right. Yeah, I didn't want to name anybody because they always change. But yeah, that's exactly right. The Goldman Sachs people usually do it between the 5th and the 12th usually. And I know there's some more funds or brand new funds that Jim Rogers has actually come out with that actually takes away a static rolling period, and it's based more on cycles and seasonals, and they're trying to actually take away some of the knowledge, you know, that we've gotten used to some of these fund rolls and how they come in and impact the market. So they are getting a little bit smarter as time goes on.
What you think of the week on the trade?
I felt like that the first part of the week was fund driven. The middle part of the week was demand-driven for beans, and then the end of the week we wrapped up with fund-driven and technicals again. And I think one thing that probably helped bring it back around was the issue of the weak exports in corn, also combining that with not very good ethanol numbers for the week, and adding to that the growing fear, I think, by the trade that the Tuesday report for corn is going to look pretty tough. And I would say the trade maybe didn't trade the report very much in the beans today, but I think in the wheat and the corn and the way the wheat-corn spread jumped about 13 cents by the close today here, that they're probably starting to get more settled down and into a mindset. Corn report could be negative on exports. Wheat report could be friendly on global numbers and tighter supplies from other countries.
And of course, those world agricultural and supply demand estimates are due out at 7:30 Central Time on Tuesday morning. And you just discussed the drop in the corn market. It was all this particular Friday for the most part, 15 cents lower in the December contract. It's all on the idea that USDA may very well trade the exports a bit lower in that particular report, I guess.
Well, I think today's was. I think today's break and the fact that we fell through the 40-day moving average and tripped some technical sell stops, brought the technicians back in as well. But I think initially what turned this market lower yesterday in terms of the corn were those weekly export sales. And I went back and looked. The last time we sold a net of 1.2 million bushels or 1.8 million bushels was the first week or second week of September this year. If you go back any further, you'd have to go back to 2008 and find such a poor number. And some of the other colleagues I were in touch with this week would suggest and told me that our exports are down around the worst levels in two decades or 20 years. And I can't fight that. And you and I have had this conversation, between Commodity Week and the closing commentary for several weeks now. When's that corn demand going to come? And I think as you get closer to the report, they're going to start to think, the trade's going to start to think, let's price in a discount because that demand has not come. And we've got beans supporting, but we haven't seen the wheat come around yet.
It ends a two-week rally in the corn pit, although last week wasn't all that strong, I suppose, on a weekly trade.
Yeah, exactly. And we really got that rally off of the idea that demand was improving from that weekly export sales number, and we got that rally off of the reversal and the fund-led rally, I think, in the beans here the last week and a half. I thought Tuesday's trade was an exceptionally strong day for the beans and the soy complex. And I think the trade went back to realizing the demand is just as important as the supply when it comes to beans, because we just can't keep up this pace of selling going into the February-March time period, because USDA hasn't got those kind of numbers built into the supply-demand report. So yield increase or no yield increase for the soybean complex, you still are running too hot on demand to keep the carryover comfortable.
This would be a month, I think, that USDA normally wouldn't tinker too much with the WASDE numbers, but there seems to be kinds of some extraordinary things still happening. As you said, the pace for soybean exports has been really strong. The pace for corn exports have been really, really bad or slow.
Yeah, they're exactly the opposite. When I look at accumulated shipments, it's really fascinating to see that the corn accumulated shipments are down 46%, beans are up 48%. So, and I think, you know, when Dave was talking earlier this morning about this week's purchase by Taiwan of Brazilian corn, I think the trade doesn't like that in some sense, but I think we are healing this market, and that by the time we get to the first of the year, I think there's going to be a window of opportunity where the U.S. corn market comes around because the stocks-to-use ratios are so tight. But before the corn comes around, I think the wheat needs to do it, and that's where next week's report, I put a lot of weight as far as bullish weight that needs to be seen in the wheat complex given the weather, given the expectations for big cut in acreage and ripping up a lot of acres in the southern plains, and the huge distinction and difference between what the USDA said in November and what the FAO, United Nations people, put out just yesterday. It's almost a 7 or an 11 million ton difference in world ending stocks for wheat. So when I see the most undervalued complex out there, I would have to dub it still the wheat market.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Okay, Todd, have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.